Welcome to the Wrestling Informer, the Christmas show. This is where we are not going to give you all the news that Billy normally gives you every week, but this is going to be our year-end special in two different parts. It's going to be Christmas week and going into New Year's. So we're going to give you all of the topics and give you the rundown before we actually get into having our special guests. I'm Cab Manning. I am from the Lingus Mafia podcast. I am joined by Mr. Billy Body.
Hi.
So where can we first of all find you, Billy?
Yep. So my wrestling Twitter is at Billy K100, B-I-L-L-I-K-100. And my gambling Twitter is at SGP Soccer. And to get all of my betting content, head over to lockbetting.com. So one unit plays are my maximum. One unit plays are my maximum. You see a lot of guys on Twitter, they've got 5-unit whales and 20-unit whales and 10-star maxes and all that. That definition of that is $500, $1,000, and a 20-unit whale would be $2,000. I don't do any of that. My max bet is £100, which the conversion rate makes $130 per set. So I use pounds as my currency. So that is a maximum bet for me because I'm very like sensible and conservative with my betting. And I take into consideration that I have realistic members with realistic incomes. I have landed 28 out of 29 of my last 29 one-unit plays. So I had a 25-0 streak going. I lost one, and then I bounced back with 3 winners in a row in the NFL this weekend. So, yeah, 28-1 is my record. That's the best I've ever done. So I'm not advertising that you can come on to lockbetting.com, and I'm going to continue going 28-1. What I'm saying is, had you signed up in the month of December, you would have made an absolute fortune, and you'd be having a very good Christmas right now and getting a lot of good stuff for your family that you wasn't thinking about buying. So that's what lockbetting.com does. It gives you a separate income, a second income. And we've made that profit for people for 102 months in a row. 102 months in a row, I haven't had a single losing month in sports betting. This is almost guaranteed to be the 103rd unless we have a monumental disaster from this point, which we're not going to because there's only 9 days left. And there's no way I could lose the rest of the money this month. So January the 1st, make sure you sign up and get on board this service. It's lockbetting.com. We'll be going for 104. We'll have 103 months. We'll be going for 104 months in a row. And you can be a part of it for the start of the new year.
Okay, lockbetting.com, where you want to make some money. So we're going to shoot through some of these categories. They're in no particular order. And we are going to have guests come on and talk about each category. And they're going to give their opinion on who to vote for. So a couple of the stories are storyline. That is one of them. And best heel. That is another category. Worst character, best character. Match of the year, male wrestler of the year, female wrestler of the year. And then we're each going to ask our guests who had the best company of the year between AEW and WWE. Billy, I'm sure you have a couple in mind. You're not going to give away right away, but there is a couple things here that come to mind, right?
Yeah, and just to let you know, this is a two-parter. So this is a Christmas special where we're going to be talking to our guests about these categories, but the voting will be in your hands. We'll be giving you the voting information at the end of the show, and then we'll be announcing the winners and analyzing why you went the way that you went with the voting next week. So you won't find out the winners here. We are pretty much just announcing the categories. We are going to be discussing the categories with the guests involved. The guests that are coming on will be appropriate to the category. So we're not going to get somebody who's never had a good match talking about the match of the year. So everything is going to be appropriate as to who's talking about it. The person talking about each of the categories they're allocated will be an expert in that particular category. And then we're going to basically give you a short list at the end. After talking to these guests, we're going to give you a short list for each category, and then you're going to be able to go and vote on that. So that's very important for you to know. It's not going to be determined today, but you are going to want to sit back and watch this show because we have some great guys coming on and guests.
So without further ado, let's go to our first category. And to talk about the heel of the year and best storyline of the year is one of the best heels that have has ever been in the business. That is Hall of Famer, Mr. Eric Bischoff. Thank you so much.
And the crowd, thank you.
So, heel of the year, what are your thoughts on who do you think was the best heel? Because I have a couple opinions about there's good heels, and then there's the, which I call the Kevin Nash cool heel. So I don't know if that really goes into how people would vote. What's your thoughts?
Hands down, MJF. His character has remained so consistent, unlike so many performers who play the roles of a heel. In my opinion, MJF embraces and loves his position as a heel. I'm not even sure it's a role. I just think he's a heel by nature, and it just fits him, man. And he's consistent all the way through. Oftentimes, heels, and you know, you refer to it as a cool heel. Sometimes people who are not comfortable being a heel still want to be liked and end up playing that cool heel or elements of a cool heel to kind of mitigate a true heel persona. Not MJF. I think he'd be pissed if he had to be a babyface. I think he would be a fish out of water, so to speak. So hands down, without question, I don't think there's anybody close, in my opinion, based on the things that I like and appreciate in a heel. I don't think there's anybody remotely close to MJF.
We recently spoke to you about 97. At the time, you had a heel champion on your show, Nitro, which was Hogan. You had a heel champion on the WWE show, WWF show, which was Bret. So you had two heels as champion. This year, we've had a whole year with Roman Reigns. Do you feel that MJF's card position damages him slightly, where Roman has been main eventing as the champion that you want to see lose? Or do you feel that too many people are now so into Roman that he's actually not a champion they want to see lose, and that's why it is MJF?
Well, I think you hit on it. I think Roman Reigns, in my opinion, is doing a great job for WWE, but he's too aspirational. Too many people wish they could be like Roman Reigns, and that kind of dilutes his heel position. If the audience aspires to be a character, or wishes they could be as big of a badass, or wishes they could handle situations in their lives the way Roman Reigns does, is that really heel, is he?
Yeah, he's that which I say the Kevin Nash cool heel, because it's hard not to like him.
And that's not Roman's fault. That's the way he's being written. That's the character that WWE wants him to be. That's the character that WWE feels is where they're going to make their most money. I just disagree with it. I don't look at Roman Reigns as a heel. I'm sorry. And I'm sure, you know, next time I see Roman Reigns, he'll ignore me and want to smack me upside the head. But again, it's not his fault. It's what they're asking of him. I just don't see him as a heel. I see him as a really cool, interesting character. And I love watching his matches, and I love watching him perform, but he's not a heel. In my perspective, just based on the things that I enjoy out of a heel character.
Rounding up our categories, just simply because we do need four, so we'll just get a couple of sentences on each. The other two people in this list are Becky Lynch and Kenny Omega. Becky's obviously the heel champion on WWE, and Omega spent the whole year as champion in AW.
I'm sorry, Becky Lynch and who?
Becky Lynch and Kenny Omega are the last two in this category.
I don't think Becky Lynch has been playing the role of a heel long enough. I think Becky Lynch is one of the most interesting performers in the industry today. I'm a big fan of Becky Lynch. But just take, for example, her most recent, I guess we can call it a storyline. It was so short. It was more like a three-part angle. You know, to me, a storyline has a little more structure. It plays out a little bit longer. There's a little more, more of an arc. There's a lot more to it, to a storyline, than what we saw out of Becky Lynch and Charlotte. But here again, you've got two characters, Becky Lynch and Charlotte. Who was the heel in that story?
Right.
I mean, that was confusing to me from a storyline perspective. Now, I love the match. And I love what they each did. But to me, it was like two heels. Who was I rooting for there? I was, you know, obviously I've known Charlotte since she was a little kid. So part of me wants to, you know, root for Charlotte and want Charlotte to be successful and, you know, advance in her career. But the way she came off, the way she went about everything, she was kind of a bitch as a character. And Becky Lynch is playing the role of a heel. So where's the heel? Where's the baby face? And maybe it's just me. Maybe I've lost all perspective. But just
that was a heel versus heel thing that they were doing. They had to build it off just being very personal with each other. But that was not just for the TV. I think there was a real issue there. But
Do you know that?
I've been told it was from speaking to a couple of people, yeah. But
okay.
Unless you know anything else.
No, I don't know anything else. And that's the reason I like that storyline. I like that matchup because I wasn't sure. You know, Becky Lynch does such a phenomenal job in her off WWE interviews. If you see her in a separate interview, if you, you know, you follow her on social media, she is a master of social media. And I've been saying that for 3 years now. She did a phenomenal job. But even I didn't want to know. I mean, I could have picked up the phone and asked a question, but I didn't want to know because that would take the fun out of it for me. But I didn't see a heel or baby face. And granted, it was okay, you got two heels there. But I found that to be a really interesting story. Kenny Omega, who hates Kenny Omega?
Not the fan base that he's wrestling in front of, that for sure. I mean,
nobody, not Meltzer.
Nobody. He's playing the role of a heel, I guess. I don't watch him enough to know. But if Kenny Omega is he in this heel category, what the hell? I think that just proves my point. I mean, people love him. His fan base loves him. The audience that watches AEW loves him. They'll boo, I guess, if they're supposed to, because they have the Pavlov's dog kind of thing going on, because the audience wants to be a part of the show and the audience knows their role in the show. But come on, Kenny Omega, a heel? I'm sorry, I don't see that.
So going to the next category here, that is storyline of the year. Has anything stood out to you that is a special storyline?
No, I'm going to be the most boring interview you guys do because I'm going back and forth between two or three things here over and over again. I'm hesitant to call Becky Lynch and Charlotte a storyline because there was really no structure to it. It was more of an angle. And if, you know, what you say is true and that was just kind of making chicken salad out of it because of the personal relationship between the two, then so be it. I found it to be the most interesting thing in wrestling this year because you couldn't see through it. It wasn't two people performing a role in a very predictable way. It felt believable to me, whether it was or wasn't. Didn't matter. I still don't want to know to this day. But I enjoyed the hell out of that. It made me really interested in that match.
It's very difficult. We're talking to someone who done a long storyline where Sting chased the bell. And just the overriding NWO versus WCW storyline. And it is. You're almost talking down here to try and find something here to class as a storyline and when in comparison to what we've had. And on the other channel, you're going up against Austin McMahon. I don't want to be this guy that goes back to the Monday Night Wars all the time and the Attitude Era and whatnot to try and find comparisons. But it's so hard when you don't really have a standout storyline this year. I mean, the Roman Reigns bloodline storyline, the Roman Reigns title reign, I got a push. We're classing that in one of these categories as being a year-long storyline. So for me, that would be the front runner. And coming up behind that, it's very difficult to put things. I think, again, we have Charlotte and Becky before we even began speaking about it, simply because we know there was a personal element to it. Aside from that, despite how well AEW tell you that they're doing, I found it really hard to put one of their storylines in this. In the end, I went for Hangman and Omega because it was a long chase. But that was a real push for me to find something that was good enough.
Yeah, I think the real challenge today is what people call storylines are not storylines. They're just not. A storyline is a journey. It's a babyface who's on a journey, a heel trying to take advantage, destroy, over, you know, beat, cheat, light, whatever's going on. But it's an arc. and it's a journey, and you're rooting for that babyface. And there are times that that babyface just isn't, it appears as though that babyface just isn't going to survive or prevail. And it's the journey that makes a story. But in today's environment, particularly in social media, you know, I could be walking down the street, give you a dirty look, somebody books a match, and that's called a storyline.
Right.
And that's the problem. There are very few. You go back to Roman Reigns again and you know, the head of the table thing. I'm sorry, has there been any point in the last year that Roman Reigns has been in peril? Has there been any point in the last year that it looked like Roman Reigns was really going to end up at the bottom of the roster and lose everything? And in fairness, I haven't watched it consistently enough. So I'm asking a question. I'm not trying to make a point. But from what I have seen and tried to track, it's just he's been dominant.
Well, there was a good angle this week on SmackDown. And in my opinion, and I'm going to catch a lot of heat for this, but I'm past caring, I believe that WWE achieved more in 10 minutes at the end of SmackDown than they did in the whole hour that Daniel Bryan and Hangman went. And I know people are going crazy about it. Five-star this, five-star that, match of the year.
No, so here's to me, this my perspective only, is AEW is booking for the dirt sheet audience. It's not the internet wrestling community anymore. It's the dirt sheet wrestling community. You know, if the goal is to try to get Booker of the Year from Dave Meltzer 2 years in a row, 3 years in a row, then they're doing a great job. But they're playing to a very small percentage of the audience. There's a reason why AEW's ratings are not going up. They're doing the same thing this year that they did last year, despite a massive, massive addition to their roster. Several of them. Many of them at this point. And where are the numbers going? They're not going anywhere. They're preaching to the same choir. They're not going outside of the church to add to the congregation. They're simply catering to the dirt sheet wrestling community. And if that's their goal, because they don't think the peripheral or passive wrestling audience is there anymore, or mainstream audience is there anymore, if they're giving up on that, if they're giving up on growing their audience and all they want to do is entertain the dirt sheet wrestling community, they're doing a phenomenal job. And they're putting out great matches. It'll get 5 stars and 4 stars and 10 stars from all those people that live for the quality of the match. But if there are people out there, millions of them, who used to watch the product, who no longer watch the product because they're just not entertained by the story. Not everybody is a dirt sheet wrestling fan. Not everybody wants to watch wrestling to be entertained by the overall quality of the match as much as they want to be entertained and identify, relate to, and cheer for or boo for the characters and the stories that they're in. And that's what's lacking across the board. I'm not just picking on AEW. What qualifies for a storyline today is nothing more than a hotshot angle with a good match.
With that being said, what do you think is or who is the best company from this last year?
You know, it's subjective. You know, how do you want to
what's entertained you more and what's not bored you as much?
Well, let me just make a point to you, Eric, and you might find it interesting. Like my colleague here, Cab, didn't watch AEW before, and he's gotten very into it since CM Punk came. My 10-year-old sitting behind me, stand up. Say hi.
Hi, 10-year-old.
His name's Austin. He wanted to
say named like, after Austin. Austin.
I said he had to wait till the end, but I just wanted to show you he was here. So he wanted to watch AEW for the same reason as Cav. They started at the same time. He wanted to watch because of CM Punk, and he wanted to watch because of CM Punk. He's gone. Like, he's not watching it now. Like, he's watching bits and pieces. If I tell him something's going to happen.
Because there's no story. What's the story? What has CM Punk been doing since he got there?
Well, the investment in Austin here would have been the fact that I would have been paying out for shows. I would have been paying out for pay-per-views, which I am because it's my job. And I would have been paying out for action figures and T-shirts. The investment in Cav is much smaller. You get Austin, you get me watching it with Austin, and that's a wider audience. You get Cav, doesn't make a difference. Cav's going to be watching it anyway. So, and that is my main observation, the fact that he isn't watching anymore, but he is.
I did it for an alternative because I've watched WWE since I was about 7 years old. I have a WWF tattoo on my leg when I was 18. I got that. I have not missed anything.
Oh, I bet you that helped get you laid.
Oh, you know what? That's why it's on my leg. I wear pants. So I'm heavily, obviously, I was WWF guy. Go to WrestleManias, stuff like that. Bought merchandise. Have not stopped watching. But I have been very annoyed watching. And I've been very frustrated because it's something I grew up and loved. And I see it's like my horrible Bears. They're horrible, but I watch. And I hope for something better to happen. But AEW then was an alternative. And so I started watching, like, couldn't watch it without the fans and stuff like that. So, but the crowd really helps because they're alive and into it. That always helps any show, even when WWF's in Chicago, all that stuff.
I agree with that. I think AEW, and by the way, guys, my battery's running low here. So if I drop out for any reason, that's why. I agree with you. From, you know, when you say which is a better company, look, are you going to measure it by ratings? Okay, hands down, WWE. It's not even close, no matter what the dirt sheet community wants to think. It's not even close. Are you going to go by revenue? I'm sorry, it's a lot. It's even more lopsided. Mm-hmm. Are you going, by what measure do you want to qualify what your opinion is the most interest or the best wrestling company? I love the way AEW produces their television. I've said from day one, I feel like when I'm watching AEW, to kind of reiterate what you're saying, I feel like I'm sitting in the arena when I watch that show. It's just got the right
big fight feel.
When I watch WWE, I feel like I'm in a theater watching Disney on Ice. It's two different things. So in some respects, I like AEW better. In other respects, I don't think how anybody can look at the two companies and suggest that they're remotely even in the same universe. They're in the same business, but they're not in the same universe. So
well said.
It's just what you like, man. It's what you like. And that's the other thing, too, before I run out of gas here on this computer. Sure. You know, whatever it is you like or your kids like or whatever, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. And don't compare it because it'll take away from your enjoyment. And don't get into an argument over it.
Thank you so much for joining us. Do you want to say where we could find you right now?
You can find me in Clearwater, Florida.
There you go, in Florida. Because he said East Coast, and I'm like, where is he on the East Coast getting out of the cold into Florida?
Yeah, no, I'm here to see our kids for the holidays and hang out for a couple of weeks. So.
Okay, so on Twitter, where will we get you?
At eBischoff.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you being on.
All right, guys. Be well. And happy holidays, man.
Happy holidays to you. Thank you very much, Eric Bischoff, for your opinions and thoughts on best heel and best storyline of the year. It was perfect that one of the best heels in the business of all time was judging who is the best heel this year. Without further delay.
The guy involved in some of the best storylines. I mean, Sting Hogan was probably the longest, if I recall.
Yeah, and he was one of the most hated, that's for sure. For a guy who wasn't a wrestler, easily, very much one of the most hated. Without further ado, let's get to the next category. With us to discuss best and worst character of the year is a guy who had a big run being a character, and some say he still is a character today. That is,
funny. I was literally best and worst. My character in 1996 got an Observer Award for best character. And then I think in 1999, I got like worst character.
So this is a pretty perfect for you to judge.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, it's obviously a polarizing gimmick. You know,
What do you think? What do you think was the best of this year? Because we have some opinions and some people are going to vote on a couple that we put out there. But your personal opinion, who do you think was the best?
Well, by far the best characters. But the Head and Shoulders, the best characters this year were the Bloodline and Paul. But I mean, I don't even think that, like, you really can't even submit them into the category because they were Head and Shoulders above everybody because they just did such great TV and vignettes and everything, right? So, yeah. Like, I don't even think anybody can argue that. You know, that Roman. Paul, like all those guys just did a fantastic job. But for me, the best character, okay, and I think it was the best character is because it took a guy that was universally disliked as a performer. They had him start doing some campy stuff And then you kind of like, he got so invested in it. You're like, boy, I'm really entertained by this, and turned into another, like, what a character that I like. I'd say Happy Corbin.
Oh,
I would say Happy Corbin, the character when he invested into the when being the broke guy.
Mm-hmm.
He became one of the most entertaining characters on television.
Yeah,
because he was so invested just on a weekly basis, like a guy that nobody could stand, channel changer. So then all of a sudden they gave him this ridiculous gimmick.
What about the end game? Does that not put you off where it's at now?
I don't mind it. I don't mind it because they're like, I was like, ah, why are they doing this? But he's still invested in this, and it's a good heelish character.
He committed to it.
He committed to being. Like, they gave him the material, and instead of saying, I don't like this, and coming across half-ass, and acting like you're reading scripted verbiage and stuff, he just invested in it and said, hey, I'm going to make this work, and he made it work. Now, he's not necessarily like so-and-so, like, maybe like when you're watching TV, like, okay, I can't wait for him to come on. But I think where, if there's like a comeback player of the year award in wrestling, Head and Shoulders, he wins it. And I just think that like the fact that he's even in this conversation makes him the my choice. My honorable mention, I would go to Sami Zayn for the work he did to being the neurotic, you know, just like coming across as like not conspiracy. Acting, just and like not a because there's so many characters in wrestling today that are not invested into their scripted promos. Sound like they just memorize their lines and stuff, and you know, I like characters like Sami Zayn that come across as genuine when they're performing. You know,
Sami just missed out on our list. I would have had him fifth on our short list of four. So, right. If you want to discuss people on our
list, let's hear your list. Let's hear your list.
Okay, so we have Roman Reigns,
right? For sure.
We have MJF. Mm-hmm. We have Farmer Brock Lesnar,
right?
And we have Dan Lambert.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But Dan Lambert's not doing it. It's not a character.
Right.
Dan Lambert is coming on TV, and they just let him like, bro. If you've had him on, we've had him on podcasts. That's him talking about wrestling. Like, if you had him on the podcast, it's like, you know, that's the way he talks. It's like, you know, but he has been a great performer. You know, like delivering because he cuts great promos and stuff and things. But yeah, I would agree with that list. But I would have Sami Zayn and Baron Corbin, another guy that turned around for me, a guy that I was very down on. For years, because of the way he worked, and I just didn't know what his character is. The way Seth Rollins embraced his heel persona, you know, his character—he was so ambiguous. He was the architect. He was the Monday Night Messiah. All these goofy things, and all of a sudden, they just said, "Hey, just go out there and be a," and just like be a heel, just like. And he has invested in that and become a very entertaining heel. You know, like there was a segment on one of my favorite segments this past year was when they did it. He was on what's it? The Ding Dong Hello. Mm-hmm. He's on a Ding Dong Hello thing with Bailey, and they did this skit where they were watching their clips of stuff on the big screen, and they were looking at, and they were doing this over the top laughing, like here, and it was just like I just found myself like, wow, this is this good stuff because this is good heelish work because the crowd's just booing, you know, and you really can't get like the crowd that's booing you these days and stuff and like the characters that have done that. I applaud them in this day and age where the wrestling fans all love the performers and the performances and stuff, and they're, you know, they're performance artists and stuff. And I like the people that have invested. Hey, old school heels, let's just go out there and have people dislike us and get the proper reaction. So I throw him on the list too.
Yeah, one of the things that put me off him was the fact that I don't think he really, with his character, it limits you from being a dastardly heel, like a real piece of shit. That you really actually hate. I think people find him too funny. I'm not in line with these heels where you're entertained by them and you start to like them. Whereas MJF doesn't try and get that laugh or anything. One of the biggest issues I had was when Rollins went into Edge's house and all he did was start eating food. I think when you go back 10, 15 years, that would have been a lot more. But it also would have been out of line with the character if we started to go through best underwear drawer or anything like that. The character's too watered down, too soft to do that. So he's in this middle territory where he is a heel, and he's but you're not sure whether he's a heel, whether he's an evil heel. He just seems to be sitting in the middle where he's this guy who wears these ridiculous clothes and has a ridiculous laugh. And for me, It's too much. It's too much in the middle. It's not. It's not. It's not.
It's well, not it's more focused. It's more focused than any character he's had before. Is the way I look at it, because everything was in, like, he was the architect. I'm like, what is he an architect of? He's not planning anything. He's not, you know, it's like all these other gimmicks that he had where he tried. It's like they say, hey, just go out there, just be an over the top heel. But the thing this is there's not a lot of heels in wrestling. I love MJF. My only critique of him is the fact that he embraces the cheap heat too much. Every promo he's got a cheap heat shot in it. I'm like, bro, you're diminishing your value when you're constantly trying to get the cheap pop when you say so many things they get good pops, you know? So that's my only critique of him, but I think he's been great too.
What would you say you think is the worst character of the year?
Whew, boy, there's so many. Wrestling's, you know, when you go through another calendar year and wrestling loses fans again, like it's done like for how many years in a row? So, you know, like if you look at this time last year and this time now, there's less fans. You know, even from the year before that too. Worst character.
I could give you one that I think.
Honestly, Luchasaurus. Just because it's the guy's like he's a big guy. That you know his character is kind of like a mark with a mask on that likes lucha wrestling, and you know I don't really know what his character is. The Luchasaurus is like, okay, I'm a fake wrestler, you know, dressed up as a lizard guy. I speak English and I'm trying to do lucha, and I'm just slapping my leg every single time I'm doing something. My work looks weak.
Well, he
you know, that guy needs so much. Like if I had, I'd love to work with that guy. And like turn him into like a menacing character than what he does now. I just think that's like I'm not a fan of that at all.
All the Jurassics narrowly missed out, Street Profits narrowly missed out, and Doudrop narrowly missed out because there's no upward trajectory with that gimmick and that name.
Well, that's what they do. Doudrop's a character that all of a sudden is like, you know, she wasn't gonna, she shouldn't even, I don't know why they put her on TV, but just like, The Office gave her that name for some inexplicable reason. Like nothing, so nothing she's doing is anything her fault, because you wouldn't really expect anything from somebody like that. But the fact they named her Doudrop is just like, you know, that to me is like a creative fail than like the character fail. You know what I'm saying?
So I'm going to run through the four that we have on there that we're going to choose to have the voting between. Mm-hmm. So we have the whole of the Dark Order.
Oh, Dark Order, yeah, they're terrible. Yeah, Dark Order's the worst gimmick. Because you had all these guys, and to this day, not one of them has stood out as a single character.
No,
they're all just a group, and they're all just jabronis, and they all just got punked by Daniel Bryan. And
the woman's the most known.
And that's why you can't pick one. That's why we haven't picked just one to
right.
one name. We've got Madcap Moss, which is contrary to what you said. Earlier on, but I suppose Corbin and Moss are different. We've got Alexa Bliss with Lily, which was horrendous all year, and we have Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes is the worst character, huh?
I mean, what do you think of that whole thing where he's not turning heel, he's going against... I think when you go against the grain...
Finally started.
I agree with that, but I don't think... I mean, I would suggest this, you know, your character's like your in-ring performance has to be part of the picture, your interviews have to be part. Like, he hasn't really bombed on anything. It's just he's just not turning heel against the wishes of the crowd.
Yeah, but why do they want him to turn heel? Because he's done a really combination of Triple H and his dad.
Right.
Like, that's why they want him to turn. So the character is because the character is Triple H combined with Dusty Rhodes. Which
yeah, but honestly, you're going to – whatever Cody Rhodes is doing on TV, you're going to watch. Whatever the Dark Order is going to do on TV, you're going to change the channel. I'm not interested in Dark Order at all. I'm still kind of interested in Cody Rhodes and what he's doing.
I'd agree with that because you would want to see what the hell Cody is going to do. If I enjoyed the latest.
Like, you know, he's well spoken. He doesn't sound like he's doing scripted. That one cringy promo he did where he was just, you know, talking about racism and stuff.
With Anthony Ogogo.
But if you're having to burn yourself, I think
might be frozen. Well, we could edit this out for sure. I can do it. If he pops back on.
Yeah, he's just, yeah.
There he is. He's back. You were frozen
yeah,
for a while.
Yeah, I know. My internet goes out sometimes. Okay. I would say he's one of the better performers on the show. Not, you know, maybe not as a character, but yeah, I'd agree. Dark Order to me, I think, has been the worst. The fact that they've been given so much airtime, and it's a silly, ridiculous, stupid, you know, creative that's been part of their gimmick and done nothing for them, and not, you know, they're yeah, you guys are right. Dark Order, I think, has been the worst characters on TV this past year.
I think if you have to burn yourself alive in the ring to try as a one last shot to not turn heel, I think.
Well, there goes the
I think your character. I think your character's failing.
My thing with Madcap is, like, I know it's not the man's fault and it's the company's fault, but that, to me, I lose my mind when that's on, and it's not even like, oh, he's doing a good job being a hated heel. It's I don't know. It's that other heat to me where I can't take it. I can't take it with the holding your belly and falling down. And it's like, it gets to me. And it's not even in the good way of, oh, this dastardly heel. It's annoying more than anything else.
Yeah.
So, well, that's it. That is, thank you for coming on and letting us know your opinion, since you were on both sides of the track, best and worst. Yeah,
best
disco
and worst.
I know where we can find you.
Never changed my gimmick either.
I know where we can find you. We can find you on this YouTube channel, but where is your Twitter at least?
At The Real Disco on Twitter, at Disco Master GG on Instagram and Snapchat. I don't do Snapchat, just since Instagram. And Keeping 100 with Conan drops every Thursday on Spreaker and all the other platforms that we do. Our Patreon is Conan.me, Conan.me. Tons of extra content, a lot of fan interaction stuff, and just check it out.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thank you. All right. No better person to have judged best character and worst character than our last guest. That's for sure. Next category. Here we go. And to talk with us about Female Wrestler of the Year and Moment of the Year, this is a very controversial figure, and she fits in perfectly with us. This is Girl on Cinema, and you can find her on Twitter, at Girl on Cinema. She's been getting in trouble lately, yelling about Tay Conte. How are you?
I'm great. Not getting sued yet. So
how can you
nice.
Get sued for that? Would they actually say this is libel?
Well, I was honestly afraid of getting sued by Tony Khan whenever I started making AEW videos. So I wouldn't be surprised if I could get sued from posting something on Twitter using like an AEW picture.
Oh my God. If they're that petty.
Going after people for copyright. But you know, when we spoke to Joe about, we needed a girl on the show, and we had a list of people, and some of them are actually in the wrestling, ex-wrestlers and whatnot. But you match up to us very well. To give us some background on us, we did a podcast called The Dirty Sheets, and I had a verified Twitter canceled by Ryan Satin and his goons like going after me a few years ago. So my other colleague Nick pulled out. He said, I don't want to talk about wrestling anymore. So I said to Cav, I was like, do you want to take over from Nick? I said, it'll only be temporary because my plan is now to get us kicked off. I want this podcast to get back. I said, now I'm literally going to say anything. And lo and behold, 4 or 5 years later, he's still stuck doing it because we haven't been able to get kicked off. In fact, we've got more jobs. We've ended up working with Vince Russo, and we've ended up on K100 just saying what the fuck we want for the last 4 years. So we can't get kicked off. So
that's awesome.
You fit perfectly with us because we say whatever we want as well. So,
so before we get into it, one little quick thing. I was looking on your Twitter, and I saw you zoomed into the Tony Khan pillow.
Yeah,
was on there, and you said you need. So I start looking it up, and then I go, I should have just seen the replies because they found what it said, right? It was like, who needs Santa when you have Nana? So I type in, first of all, this is the greatest. I type in, who needs S, because it didn't have the whole thing, when you have blank. One pillow came up that actually said, who needs snow when you have sand? And I said, this is the greatest thing ever if that's his real pillow. Unfortunately, it wasn't, but
I was going the opposite direction. I thought I typed in like, who needs sleep when you have blank? Cause I was like, maybe it's like something about Coke or Adderall.
Oh my God.
You know, any other community that would have found the answer that quick though. Like,
this, no.
This yeah, the they were in there.
Would have done and found that out straight away.
I like the somebody replied and said, "Who needs sex when you have nachos?" And I was like, "That sounds like something he would have."
Especially for him. So, getting into this, your category that you're going to be discussing is Female Wrestler of the Year. Now, this I know you have terrible. Thoughts on why, and we'll get some eliminations in here. What's your thoughts?
These categories are already predecided. If we did tweet of the year, I might have given it to your tweet about Rebby Scott, because that was the tweet of the year. That was the best.
No lies. There's no lies there, right?
And you know what? To make people figure out what it is, go to her Twitter, Girl on Cinema, to see, because we get it bleeped here anyway if we said what it said.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Okay. So first of all, I misunderstood the assignment, and I was thinking like worst female wrestler of the year. So my
you can
initial
go that way.
Well, my initial thought was going to be, it's the girl with pink hair.
Oh God, there's many of them now, isn't it in NXT?
No, WWE. She was like a big deal for a hot Eva Marie.
Oh, okay.
I was there thinking Eva Marie, which I'll be honest, I liked all of her segments on Total Divas. I'm like a huge Total Divas fan. That's
yeah,
how
I used to review that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I like originally even got more into wrestling, was like Total Divas, Dark Side of the Ring. So I liked Eva's segments. She's good for reality TV, but she's God awful for wrestling, and I don't even know how she got into wrestling, because
look at her. Right. That's the only reason they go, well, here's a model, we'll try to teach you how to roll around.
Which I was okay, I'm just gonna be truly honest here, but like, how did she come back at this age with the face that she has? Because it's half plastic, and I mean, don't get me wrong, she's in great shape.
Oh, fantastic.
But I don't think she like looks good. Like, she looks kind of older and like super plastic, so I was surprised that they brought her back this year.
Have you seen pre nose job pictures?
I feel like I've looked them up at one point.
Yeah, there's something.
I'm very nosy about that kind of stuff. Okay, but if we really want to say like who was pushed the most, I'm gonna say like Britt Baker. She's been pushed so much. Even like CM Punk is jacking her off half the time. So I'm going to say Britt Baker.
But is she good though? Do you think that she's good? Do you see the appeal there? Because I don't. I'm not into the Britt Baker thing at all.
I went for push wise and I was like, well, she's been very successful by what they've done to her. It doesn't matter what she is accomplishing, like actual technical stuff, but she got accomplished stuff by them pushing.
Right. Let's talk about the AEW women's division in general. Does anybody there really know what they're doing besides maybe like Thunder Rosa occasionally, which we've seen some of their like pre-taped side segments, and even those, like even the good wrestlers look like in half the time in those. So I was impressed by the match that she had. I can't even remember who it was with, where she did like the thumbtack spot and got all bloody. I was genuinely pretty impressed with that, because I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that's not a fun one. I can imagine. It'd be like a cartoon when you drink and all the water squirts out.
Right. But I also think that she got hurt in that match, and I don't think AEW is very honest about who gets hurt on their promotion. And I feel like she hasn't really been back since then. Like, she's been in a lot of pre-tape stuff, but she hasn't really been live on TV in a really long time. So I feel like she got a little pissed off about that match and hasn't truly been back. So,
okay.
Besides that.
For me, I feel like this fan base, support anything that AEW do. That they're all marks, they're all obsessed, and they're going to make you feel like they have a credible women's division, and they'll get behind the face of the women's division, which is Britt Baker. But you put Britt Baker's work up against Charlotte, Sasha, even as a character, it doesn't hold up. I know from internal sources that when the conversation comes up in terms of do you want to go over and work at AEW, I don't think there's any clamoring for Sasha, Becky, Charlotte, any of these people to go, oh, I'm going to go and have that fantasy match with Britt Baker. So I don't think it's there, which is why I didn't really put her in this category.
Yeah, I totally agree. But like you guys were saying, like, as far as people who were pushed the most this year, I definitely feel like it was Britt Baker. Like, how many t-shirts did Britt Baker get this year?
Yeah, I was thinking right away it's going to be, people are going to say Bianca, because she was pushed to the moon a little too much.
I like Bianca a lot, but I liked her more like last year versus this year. I feel like she was like kind of the underdog last year, like coming up. And now this year they kind of put her in the spotlight, but then she also, like, WrestleMania, what the heck was that? She got immediately like beat by Becky Lynch coming back.
And SummerSlam.
SummerSlam.
Yeah, but they're doing very much Cena with her, I feel. Like, she's alone in Survivor Series. Let's beat everybody. You know, right. Let's stack them up and put her foot on top of people to win, which I think is going to turn a lot of people off.
Right.
So, going into moment of the year, there's a few we'll have on our list. Anything come off the top of your head?
You guys already named one, which is CM Punk coming back. I got a lot of hate for my reaction of CM Punk coming back because... I really, I don't know if you guys know this, I didn't start watching wrestling until 2015. So I never had that experience of like loving CM Punk or wanting him to like be top guy in WWE. But his, I think him coming over to AEW was definitely awesome considering he hasn't been in wrestling for 7 years. But I immediately got hate because I wasn't excited when he came back. And I was just pointing out, like, this is just going to be a nostalgia pop. And he'll be in AEW for a few weeks and their numbers are going to go down. Because it seems like anybody who goes to AEW is not keeping any fans watching. They always end up going back to that 800,000 range. So... I guess I'm still going to say it was CM Punk's return because it is a huge deal that a wrestler came back after 7 years, but I wasn't that excited about it.
That's what all their booking is. That's what all their booking is. It's dating a girl, and when you're going to fuck her, take 4 Viagra and then really set the expectations that high, and then you're not able to hold that number throughout the entire thing. And that's what they do. They do it all the time. They blow their load, and then like when it comes down 5 weeks of television, there's nothing there at all. Which is why they've got a lot of moments here on the list, but there's no way to sustain it. They have no plan as to like what they're gonna do on the next 2 televisions as after they've done it. So that's my issue with that.
I totally agree.
It's hard to beat the Punk return, even with, like, I think the next closest thing is MJF and Punk going back and forth on a mic, because that's entertaining as hell to watch. But to have someone come back after 7 years and he was like the beloved figure, it's a lot of your dog dies and it was the greatest dog ever and you don't remember that it ate the garbage. It never did anything wrong ever.
Yeah.
So... it's a lot of that. I mean,
even with that exchange, stuff. I felt like, because they went out there for nearly 30 minutes, they said everything that they could have said across 4 or 5 weeks.
So, but they did add to it a little bit. I mean, it hasn't stopped. MJF is
By saying he wants to bang Britt, it's not exactly high level as how they started, is it?
However, it is entertaining. I mean, we all did go, oh, that's great, you know?
Right. So. I love the sexual analogy about this, though, because I've made that exact point on my podcast, Wrestling Obituary. I've like said that on a live stream before, because it feels like if they were to have sex, they don't understand like the female orgasm is all about delicateness. Yeah, right? like you can't just like jump on it and say like, okay, here's your happy time. Like you
need
have
the build up.
Thank you. Yeah, you need the buildup. So it feels like, I mean, let's be honest, Tony Khan just doesn't seem like somebody who has a lot of experience in that department.
Well, no. When this guy has sex, he just hands the money over at the end. So
I was just going to say, it's ready to go. What do you mean you have to do anything before
exactly.
that?
Exactly. So honestly, like booking is a lot like sex. Like you have to build up to it. And if you just blow your load, like you guys say, if you just do it right then in the beginning, then what do you have to look forward to? And it's like over immediately.
Yeah, they are doing.
Sorry, go on.
They're doing the one thing right, I think, with they're not letting them touch each other with MJF and Punk. Well, even in this tag match, never touch, not even where WWE, that's what you would see in a tag match. They'd get their hands on each other. They would not let it build to something. So,
right. Yeah.
And that then the last moment I'll talk about would be that Lesnar saving Heyman, if he did, in fact, save Heyman. But that whole kicking Heyman out of the bloodline, that was done so well because that was 4 or 5 months of what side are you on? And then Roman kicking him out. I'm sure there'll be another twist along the way. But at the moment, that built up as a huge moment, if you look at the way the crowd reacted to it. And that wasn't an instantaneous thing.
Yeah, I feel like I don't talk enough about WWE stuff, but honestly, compared to AEW, it's so forgettable for me. Like, there's not a whole lot of moments that I see in WWE where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's really memorable. Because half the time it's so boring. At least even if AEW doesn't do things accurately or like the best that they possibly could, it's at least entertaining. It's like a bad car wreck that you just can't look away from.
I get stuff from people because I always say I actually now look forward to AEW like it's an event, where back in the day I used to for Raw and it was like, yeah, all right, it might be Monday and work day, but I got Raw at the end and I'm excited for it. Now I'm just like, I have Raw on top of this to 3 hours, and it's just not where AEW seems like it's an event and something's going to happen, even though, like you said, they do mess up, of course, and nobody's going to be perfect with everything.
Right. And I mean, I feel like the last couple episodes of AEW have been super boring. Like, they've reminded me a lot more of WWE stuff, but WWE, I've tried to film live streams while watching some of their pay-per-views, and it gets to that 2 hour mark and I'm like, oh my God, I have 2 more hours left of this. Why did I put myself through this? Cause it's just too boring. They stretch stuff out so long. And it's just like, give me something to be excited about.
Well, thank you for coming on and giving us your opinions on match of the year or moment of the year and female wrestler of the year, which I know was we had to pull teeth for to find a female wrestler of the year. Give us all your information. Where can we find you? Where can people line up? Because if they are into this show, they should be into you.
Well, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. But definitely, GOC Wrestling is actually my YouTube channel. I had to change that after the Tony Khan situation I went through. So it's GOC Wrestling if you want to see my YouTube stuff about wrestling. And then I also am on Twitch, at Girl on Cinema on Twitch. I do live streams every Tuesday at 9, and then definitely Twitter, and I have a link tree and you can find all of my other stuff. So,
well, next year we're holding you to bringing a shovel and a flashlight, and we'll have another co-host on this show. Thank you for everything.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Okay, that was your female wrestler of the year. So now we're going to jump to our final two categories. That is going to be the match of the year and male wrestler of the year. And to join us to go over male wrestler of the year and match of the year is very own K100's Conan.
Yo, what it do? Let's get it cracking. Boom.
So what do you think? We'll go with male performer of the year, male wrestler of the year. Anything come to mind right away? Who's had the best year for you, you think, in your opinion?
Well, three guys to me: Roman Reigns, Bryan Danielson, and Omega. Those are the three guys to me. I don't know who to put over who, but those three guys. If I had to pick one, Roman Reigns would be number one, if I did have to pick one.
You're the first guy that's come on from Eric to Disco who have actually got three guys on the shortlist of the four that we made, because all the other categories, Eric and Disco, we've all had different opinions, but you're the first guy to come on who's got three of my four on the shortlist. The other one I had was Lashley, because I thought he had his best year that he's had. But yeah, you got all the other three.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, the reasons why, I mean, you know, Roman's the needle mover. He's been the most interesting guy on TV for the last year. It doesn't matter if you put him with the Usos, Paul Heyman, Kevin Owens, whoever it's with, the guy's been magic. He's been great. Kudos to him. You know, Omega, the one thing that, you know, as a booker, I really appreciate is how unprofessional, this is extra points for him, how unprofessional he is compared to other wrestlers who don't want to do jobs, who are worried how they're going to look in the match, and all this other that means absolutely nothing if you give a good match. And I don't have to deal with that with him. He understands what he has to do. If you tell him to put somebody over, he knows how to put them over without him, you know, stealing all their heat. Just such a professional guy to work with. Love working with Kenny, and every match he's in feels special. You know what I'm saying? He really takes a lot of time in his craft. And Bryan Danielson is a workhorse. What a beast. I mean, there's a reason why a lot of people consider him like almost like this generation's Eddie Guerrero. You know, he's just a beast in the ring, and he's been a beast on the mic. And I got, you know, those three to me are head and shoulders way above everybody else.
Well, that's the thing with Brian's year. I think Kenny and Roman have had the title reigns, but Brian's versatile because he started his year in WWE and was doing good work there until he left in May. But he was doing completely different work. He's now working as a heel, so he can flip flop around, and it's pretty seamless.
Right, and they didn't. And the worst thing is, which is a tribute to how great he really is. They never explained why he was a heel. I don't even remember how he turned heel. All of a sudden, he was heel. And I was like, wow, instead of actually turning him heel with somebody that mattered and putting him in a storyline, no, all of a sudden, he was just being a dick. And that was how they turned him heel, which I thought was very, you know, lazy, and it was very uninteresting, and is one of the many problems that AW has. You know, when you have somebody of that magnitude, you can't even explain why all of a sudden he went from being a nice guy babyface that was over with the fans to now ripping on the audience. Yuck-ay.
Yeah, pretty much he won a tournament. And then since he was the number one contender going against a babyface, he just had to become a heel.
Right. He just started healing on the crowd all of a sudden. I was like, what?
When you look at this kind of category, when you hear like wrestler of the year, well, what's the first criteria you look at? If we go way, way back, let's say we look at a year like 96, where Shawn Michaels was champion of WWF and he was having the best match on every pay-per-view. But the big thing in 96 was Hogan's heel turn. So he went from Hulk Hogan to Hollywood Hogan. In a year like that, where would you go? Would you go for the mic work, the ratings, the popularity, or would you go straight for the in-ring work? Like how would you, what's the first thing you look at?
Yeah, like everybody has different ways of looking at it. Wow, that's a really, really good question.
I mean, the old school always says to draw, right?
Who was outdrawing who back then?
Hogan was outdrawing Shawn. Shawn Michaels was
then you have to go with Hogan.
But Michaels was the one getting consistent, 4 stars consistently.
I know, but I'd rather, if I'm a promoter, I'd rather make money than see a good match.
Right.
And that's Hogan's the guy making the money. Hogan's the guy that everybody knows. Hogan's the guy that you could get on any show, and some people would probably still go. They may say, who's Shawn Michaels? But if you ask most people, who would you rather have on your show, Hogan or Michaels? They're going to pick Hogan because he's the bigger name, and the bigger name is drawing, so you would have to give the edge to him as much as his work rate was brutal. At least Shawn Michaels was good at everything. He could talk, he could work, he looked good, he was entertaining. But if he wasn't outdrawing Hogan, that's a big deal, bro, because there's very few draws, guys that can actually draw. And if he's outdrawing Shawn Michaels, then I would have given the edge to Hogan back then.
And would you give the edge to Roman this year if you pick one?
I don't give the edge. He is, to me, head and shoulders, the most valuable guy because he's been doing it for a year and a half already. You know,
right.
I mean, his work has been great. His work has been like a, you know, Disco brought this up and he was right. If you were to take the last year, or year and a half of when the Bloodlines storyline started, and you were to take the best of and put it in like one long thing, bro, you've got a great little miniseries there because his work has been phenomenal. And, you know, and Usos has been great. I mean, really good. And Paul Lee's been on another level.
I think Billy said it well the other day when he was saying that the last 10 minutes of SmackDown did more for them than the hour draw that AEW did because it was such like you're watching SmackDown and watching them for their prog just to see Roman in the first place. And then they did what they did with Farmer Brock coming out and all that kind of stuff. It just shows that he draws so much attention where I'm worried, God forbid he gets hurt. I don't know what there is to watch on their show anymore.
And you got to know that Paulie's behind a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? So special props to Paulie, you know, for he's a genius.
Moving on to match of the year. Is there anything that stands out off the top of your head for a match that caught your eye?
Well, there was one that a lot of people didn't see because it was in Mexico, and this match was great, and it features four of the greatest workers in the world. It was Pentagon and Phoenix versus Hijo de Vikingo and Laredo Kid. Wow, that was really, really good. That might be the best match I've seen in AAA, but most people haven't seen it. But if you can, go out of your way and watch it because it's out there on YouTube. Let me see what matches stuck out. I don't have a favorite. You know, I would say that one of the matches I really enjoyed a lot was, believe it or not, was the one where Seth Rollins started off in Saudi Arabia. I think it was against Edge.
It's on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a great match. Bryan Danielson versus Omega. That was a great match. There's a match I saw the Lucha Brothers in AEW that was insane, but I can't
remember. Against the Young Bucks?
Yeah.
With their bleeding?
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that match too. Maybe you'd have to throw a couple out there because the problem with me is that I've been in so many matches, I've seen so many matches, and I watch so many matches because of my position in wrestling that I get, you know, there's so many. It's like
it blurs together.
Yeah.
So the other ones on the list we had were from Mania, Edge, Bryan, and Roman. And another one is Becky and Charlotte that just recently happened. That's Survivor Series.
And with that one, like, I know some people do these awards and they're trying to put the women's match on. They're always trying to go
right,
make a case and go, oh, Sasha and Bianca's got to be there because it right, closed Mania. I wasn't going to do that. I had I had Hangman versus Omega, not the Bryan match, as on here instead. But I bumped it for Becky and Charlotte because I genuinely thought this was the best women's match I've seen in a couple of years, the one from Survivor Series, because it didn't have that hokey stalling stuff that you sometimes see in the women's matches. It was at a pace, and all the selling and all of the offense looked realistic, and you don't get that very often.
Yeah, that was a good match. I don't consider it one of the best matches of the year, though, but that was a good match.
I think the storyline sways us a little bit, too, because that was kind of like blood feud between Becky and Charlotte, and I think that kind of sways our opinion a little
bit. Well, that's good because you need it. You know, we were talking about it with Billy not too long ago on the show, where they did a finish that was different than usual. And I was like, man, I really appreciate that they didn't take the lazy way out. They did something creative, you know? So I do like that, you know, the Becky and Charlotte thing, even though it started off as a shoot, that they tried to make it a work. You know what I'm saying? Because I like when, I'll give you an example. Somebody had recommended that show on Netflix, True Story with Kevin Hart. Have you guys seen it?
Not yet, but we talked about it on the last show, so I'm going to try and check that out.
All right. So one of the things I liked about it, because this is how I write in Mexico, is I always try to mix fact with fantasy. But you're not sure where the fact begins or the fantasy starts. You know what I'm saying? You're not sure. It's like, well, okay, I know they have heat, but is this really happening? Is this really, you know, I mean, the diet, you know, what they're saying sounds really.
Yeah, so, blur the lines. Yeah.
Right. I love to blur the lines. That's, you captivate me as a fan. So I like to write like that. So the fact that they did that, I like that. You know, that they blurred the line and people were like into it and they were watching. Like we had Eric Bischoff, who, you know, I mean, you know, he's a guy that's been in the business a long time. And he was intrigued by Charlotte and Becky, and he turned in to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, he spoke to us about it. Yeah, he spoke to us about it when he was on.
Yeah.
But, so go on.
So you like, I like that. I like that element of Charlotte and Becky. But having said that, I didn't think it was one of the best matches of the year. Yeah.
And I mean, just to explain the other one here, Roman, Edge, and Bryan. Right. I feel the same as you, where a lot of matches blend together and it's difficult.
Right.
But I've obviously you've got a way, way more experience than me. But I think putting on that big match at the big stage, which is the biggest event that we have every year, and to deliver, I feel it carries an extra pressure. And I feel
100%.
And I feel that just gives you a tiny bit more edge, because there's more of a legacy to it in terms of WrestleMania main events. You'll talk about them in years to come, and it sticks with you a bit more. And if you do deliver that performance level there, I feel it deserves to get the edge over normal matches.
I would agree with that. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Where would you lean then in these four matches?
Give me the four again. I'm sorry.
No worries. Lucha Brothers versus Bucks in the cage. Roman, Edge, Bryan, WrestleMania. Becky, Charlotte, Survivor Series. And Edge versus Rollins, Hell in a Cell in Saudi.
I'm very biased, so we're going to have to take the Young Bucks and Lucha Brothers out. Because I love the Young Bucks, anything they do. And I love everything the Lucha Brothers do. I do. And I just think the Young Bucks are very, 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 very creative, as dorky as they come off sometimes. And, you know, they're very creative. They're always trying to entertain. They're always trying to do something different. They're very creative. So that match to the side, I would pick the WrestleMania one. The Edge, Rollins, what was it? Edge, Rollins and who?
No, Edge, Bryan, and Roman.
Ed, Brian, and Roman. My bad. That one.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you for your time and your opinion. It's I mean, who could we ask any better about match of the year and male performer of the year? That's for sure. Where could we find you other than your own channel that you're on right now?
Yo, you can check me out on Twitter or on Facebook at KONNAM5150. And you can check me out on Keeping It 100 every week. You know what I'm saying? On Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Facebook. You know, Billy has a segment on there called The Hot News, the Billy Body, London Town, boom. And you know, we talk everything, politics, pop culture, sports. We get into arguments, me and Disco all the time. And it's a cool show.
Thank you very much for your help. And hope you enjoy the show and watch it and watch along with us.
All right. Make sure you check out Billy and Cav, and happy holidays to you and all your listeners, and Merry Christmas to all of you and all your listeners. I am going to go get blazed. Boom.
So that is all of our categories, and thank you to all of our guests who chimed in on their thoughts for all of this. Let's go through a little bit, Billy, before we go, and tell me who is in each of the categories. So for heel, Who's in this for people to vote for?
Yeah, so we ran through this with Eric Bischoff. He was very clear that it was a one-horse race for him. But you have the chance to vote for who you think it is. The heel of the year is between MJF, Roman Reigns, Becky Lynch, and Kenny Omega.
Okay, so let your voice be heard. Go to at BillyK100, B-I-L-L-I. K100 on Twitter, and you will be able to vote, and we'll see your results next week. So, storyline, what do we have for that?
Yeah, I'm just making the change here right now on as we're recording for the Twitter. So there you go. That's what it is. Billy K100. Storyline of the year. We have. So when we were talking about this, we went for an overriding storyline with a bloodline, but me and Cav spoke about it. We disagreed that was the way to go. He disagreed with me, and I agreed with what he said that he disagreed with. So we ended up breaking it down to just taking one of the bloodline storylines, and we took the main one, which we believe is the best one: Roman, Paul, and Brock. So Roman, Paul, and Brock is one thing you can choose. Omega versus Hangman. Obviously, this is Hangman's long chase to the title. Cav believes that MJF and Punk should already be on the short list, and I don't disagree with him. And the last one is Charlotte and Becky. Charlotte okay. and Becky from Survivor Series.
Lots to choose from there. You can go and vote if you have any thoughts on that. Place your vote, and we will see for next week. How about our category for worst character? Because God knows there is quite a bit.
Wow, this was a difficult year in terms of trying to find things that were good enough. Like we were struggling to find those two extra heels that could compare to MJF and Roman. We were struggling for matches of the year. It's like you open a gate. Like if you let one in, and then you go, what about this? And what about that? And what about this? And you end up with a longer list where there was only really a few things that were good. Worst character of the year. This was easy. This was 6-7 straight away, and we were cutting it down. Like
we had to cut them down.
It hurt me to take the Street Profits off this because they deserve to be here. Everybody hates the name Doudrop, and that deserved to be here as well because that character is a big troll job, and that's all it is. It's a troll job of the fat girl. But we narrowed it down, and we took those out, and we ended up with Madcap Moss, Alexa Bliss with Lily, the Dark Order, and what I feel should win hands down, Cody Rhodes. Not Cody Rhodes in any incarnation of Cody Rhodes, just Cody Rhodes as Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is the person, Cody Rhodes and his wife.
Cody Rhodes the person.
Cody Rhodes on social media, Cody Rhodes, just generally the entire Cody Rhodes package, whether it be 2020, 2021, moving forward, this guy is the worst character of the year. But I'm not going to try and sway you.
Don't give opinions. Don't say who you think. Let them all vote because they might go the opposite way if they don't like you, to tell you the truth. So yeah, you might not help.
I could be can we seeing as Cody's reached out about me before to the place that I work.
I would should have him on here to do.
No, I would, if Cody wins, I'm going to pay out for an actual trophy that we can. For the worst character of the year. We'll try and get that to him. We'll talk about
tipping the scale, putting your finger on the scales.
We'll send it to Jacksonville Jaguars address and see if he gets it.
They'll think it's for the team. So what do you have now for best character?
All right, this is interesting. Obviously, you have your usual guys on there, Roman Reigns, and MJF makes it again. So this could have been very different, very much the same as the heel list. But the difference is that heels need to go and then work in the ring as well. And I feel like the work of MJF, Roman, Becky, and Kenny Omega has been good heel work as well. So this is where we can add different people. One guy's only had one match this entire year, and the other guy is just purely a character. So to add to Roman Reigns and MJF, I've gone for Farmer Brock Lesnar because I think that's resonated very well with people. And I've gone for Dan Lambert. So that is what differentiates this from just being another incarnation of Best Heel.
So give your four real quick there.
Yes. Once again, Roman Reigns, MJF, Farmer Brock Lesnar, Farmer Brock, and Dan Lambert.
Farmer overalls. Hope they make an action figure for that. How about male wrestler of the year?
Male wrestler of the year. So you've got Roman Reigns. You've got Daniel Bryan stretching across two companies. So don't forget that he was there until May and had a short break and then came into AEW. The break may affect him in the voting, but he's done two characters and he's done two very different characters, so take the versatility into consideration. Kenny Omega, who for some reason people were going, who's a better champion? Is it Kenny or Roman Reigns? These were blind people, by the way. And the last person is Bobby Lashley, because Bobby Lashley has had a good year. He's had the best year of his career, perhaps maybe a stretch, admittedly, to be on Male Wrestler of the Year, but I think that he's had a good year, and I would think he was a believable champion, which is hard in this day and age where you're always flip-flopping around. But I felt when he lost the belt, it was too early. That's my
opinion. Yeah, I kind of think they made him lose the belt because they didn't want him to go up against Roman at Survivor Series. I think that was the only reason that he got rid of it. Let's jump over to female then. Female of the year.
Okay, so there'll be some controversy here. But this is how I truly believe the list should be. Becky, That in itself is controversial because she only came in at SummerSlam, and this is for the entire year. But I feel it's difficult to leave her off. Charlotte, just the usual consistent Charlotte year. Although there have been political issues, I still think she belongs on the list. Bianca Belair, I think, has been like the clear most pushed talent of the year so far, headlining WrestleMania. And she headlined it alongside Sasha Banks. Now, I put Sasha in. Charlotte and Becky were my two that went in automatically. Charlotte and Bianca, sorry, were my two that went in automatically because of the year they've had. Cav debated Sasha shouldn't be there because she missed a few months. We also debated not putting Becky there because she missed 8 months. But this is the list we landed on. I still feel that the work of these four women outweigh the work of Britt Baker. I feel.
And I was on the Britt Baker side, by the way, because everyone knows I'm such a shill for AEW. But the woman's been champion and you know, always been involved. So I just had a problem with the people, the women that were out for so long. That otherwise, I think Sasha, I absolutely love Sasha's work. And I've always said, I think she's the Shawn Michaels of the women. So, you know, I'm a Sasha guy, that's for sure.
I'll give you a last chance here. Like, calling it on the fly to take one of these WWE women out and get Britt Baker in. My only argument is there hasn't been any good Britt Baker matches. I haven't liked any of them. I think they try and force too much time onto her matches, especially at the pay-per-views where they haven't delivered. I feel like the character, I don't get what it is. She's a babyface in Pittsburgh. There are all these like marks are chanting DMD, but she's supposed to be a heel. She's got that weird.
Well,
thing.
You want to talk about back and forth. What about Sasha? The hell is she doing?
But the ring work is so much better. Like, I mean, Sasha was a heel for the Bianca feud, and then she came in and has been a babyface, essentially. It was confirmed when she had the thing with Shotzi. Oh, actually, when she came back, she was a babyface that turned heel because she thought she was going to be with Bianca, and then the match got cancelled. So, yeah, you are right there. And as I said, I'm willing to remove her from the list if you are really feeling strongly about it. But
I think we stay with what we had, but just because I think it's more known and that kind of stuff. You know, it's like she's around. I think more people know, obviously, the WWE product, and so I'm fine with keeping it. That's fine.
I was more siding with removing Becky than Sasha. For me, Sasha's in. But the thing
is, Becky's so hot right now with everything and being a champ, and she's so involved. Even though it's toward the end of the year, it's hard to just say see you later. You know, if we could have more than we have, it'd be great. But
I'm gonna take Sasha out. And I'm gonna put in Mandy Rose. How about that?
You know, I mean, yeah, Mandy's been involved quite a bit. Sure as hell, that's the problem. Is it's the tree in the woods with NXT?
Oh yeah, people know. People who watch this,
they
know.
Do.
And it's the first time, and I tell you, this is another thing. This is the first time, despite how AEW put Britt in the main event or whatnot, Mandy is focal in the advertising for 2.0, above and beyond the Bron Breakker, who's supposed to be the next face, and Tommaso Ciampa, who's holding the belt. You wouldn't know it from watching the advertising. It's Mandy. Watch NXT. Mandy's it. It's the man.
Yep.
Like, you've never built anything around a woman like this before. I know it's a small brand, but I'm willing to lose Sasha Banks for Mandy if Sasha's the one you want to lose. Or we can lose Sasha and Becky because of inactivity, and we can add Mandy and Britt Baker and lose both. But I think it's stupid to not have one.
Yeah, I think I know how people are going to vote anyway, so I don't know if it would really matter. But just do the Mandy one. I think that's good.
That was a late call.
That was a very late call.
Yeah.
Let's go to moment of the year.
Okay. This was hard. This was hard because AEW have had a lot of moments. They built for the big moments. And losing the moment between Adam Cole returning followed by Daniel Bryan, which was huge at the time, that not making it has really surprised me. But I feel like these other four moments are ahead of him. People may disagree. So you got John Cena's return, which was huge when it happened. And that is a bigger star than Adam Cole and Daniel Bryan. You've got the Punk and MJF exchange, the first one, the 20 minutes back and forth. That gets in. You have Lesnar saving Paul Heyman, which is the moment that has squeezed out the Bryan and Adam Cole joining AEW. That squeezed it out because it happened this week. And it was, for me, it just showed how you can really get people invested in something by doing just 10 to 15 minutes of great storyline, great acting by all parts. When from Paul Heyman was great. The Usos
pretty were perfect.
The Usos in the background just being little snitches going, that's disrespectful. Small touches. And obviously Brock comes in, ridiculous no sell, super kick no sell. I mean, people have been doing that in AEW all year. Like, to their-
yeah, Sting just gets up from crash tables, no problem.
Right. And then the chair no sells from Roman just picks him up into the F5 twice. Yeah, but we had Bischoff on who was talking about how Roman's not been in enough jeopardy this year. Well, that was a real moment where he got dominated by Lesnar. So we put that in. And then the last one is CM Punk's return, which is obviously the big 7-year build.
Yeah, that's enormous.
That did deliver on the night. So once again, you've got MJF Punk's exchange, Cena returns, Punk returns, and Lesnar. I've got it as Lesnar saves Heyman. We're not sure if that's exactly what it was because we don't know how the rest of the story goes.
Yeah, that's how we know it to vote. Yeah. And last one is Wrestler of the Year. Match of the Year. I'm sorry, Match of the Year.
Right. You know, we're missing some of these Japanese guys on the Match of the Year. Does that mean we're not?
Shit.
and the Wrestler of the Year because we haven't got Ibushi and.
You know, I did one show where I had a bunch of guys and I said 1 through 20, you list your greatest wrestlers of all time, 1 through 20, number one gets 20 points and it goes down like that. Right. And then we put all the lists together and I read off everybody in a row. Right. We had one asshole that had to put Ibushi or whoever the hell. Name a couple of these guys. It was somebody else. I don't even know. And he had him at like 5. And I'm like, it completely like destroyed half of the thing because it smashed so many points and it pushed people out. I'm like, you absolute asshole. Nobody cares about this. But Austin won number one, by the way, of all time. So go ahead. What do we got for Match of the Year?
Okay, we've got Pat Tanaka and Mr. Miyagi. No. We've got nothing from that from there. We've got Edge versus Seth Rollins from the Hell in a Cell, which I believe will be Conan's favorite match. You've got the Luchas versus the Bucks from the Steel Cage match at their pay-per-view, which